All right, let me pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are building your church, that Christ is King, he's on his throne, and he's continuing the wonderful, important, great work of saving a people for yourself and expanding your church and your kingdom throughout the world. As we listen to this message, Lord, as may the words that I speak be inspired by the written word, and may the written word lead us to the living word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at the state of the Christian church in Britain and in Europe, it would be easy to get discouraged. Churches are closing at rapid pace. Church buildings are being sold off and converted into mosques, museums, bars, gyms, nightclubs and apartment blocks. Now, according to Faith Survey that measures Christianity in the UK, between 1980 and 2015, church attendance declined from 6,484,000 to 3,081,500, which is equivalent to a decline from 11.8% to 5% of the population. In England, membership is forecast to decline to 2.5 million, which is 4.3% of the population by 2025. To put some of that into perspective, the current population of the UK is 68 million. In Europe, the stats are just as discouraging. Church attendance is at or below 25% in some countries, and in a number of other countries, they are in single digits, according to Pew Research, reported back in 2018. If it feels like we are Christians are in the minority in this country, it is because we are. If it feels like it is getting harder to identify as a Christian, maybe it is because it is. And the more our society has moved away from God and from a Christian worldview and understanding of the world, Christians begin to stand out from the crowd more and more so. And this could create problems and challenges for us in our families, with our friends, our places of work, and our hangout places. Christians stand out from the crowd, and things could get tougher for us. Now, it would be easy to look at the problems and get discouraged and lose hope and ask the question, is there any hope for the church? Is there any hope for the church in Britain and in Europe? And we must look at the promises and look through the problems with Christ's promises. Because when we do that, the problems facing the church become platforms through which the promises of God are fulfilled. The problems facing the church become platforms through which the promises of God are fulfilled. In our Bible passage this morning, Jesus made a wonderful promise. He said in verse 18, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Just 2 points from this. Firstly, Christ is unstoppable in building his church. Christ is unstoppable in building his church. Jesus had just asked his disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus then said, how blessed Peter was, because this was revealed to him by God. Then makes his promise to build his church. Now what Jesus means when he said to Peter, on this rock I will build my church, is that the church will be built not on the man Peter, but on the man's faithful confession of the faith. Jesus didn't mean that the church depended on Peter, but on the authoritative and inspired apostolic word and faith in Jesus that Peter was given by God. In this sense, Peter's confession of faith in Jesus is the foundation of the church, but God is the rock alone. Now, what I want us to see is Jesus' unstoppable promise that church growth, world mission, is not ultimately dependent on human intelligence, wisdom, efforts, or inventiveness. It is ultimately dependent upon the sovereignty, the wisdom, the power, and faithfulness of the living Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't say to Peter, and he didn't say to Christians or to vicars and pastors, "You will build my church," but instead, "I will build my church." And this removes the pressure and the weight of responsibility if it all depended on us, giving us a promise that we can stand on and gives us the confidence to work for Christ even when things get tough. Instead of losing hope or giving up or being discouraged to the point of despair, this promise motivates us to keep going. As we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, the Apostle Paul said, "What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow." God has been making it grow. Christians who are partnering with Christ to build his church are involved in a supernatural work. On the surface, the church may only look like a human organization. And if the work is done apart from Christ, then it is just a human organization. But if it is Christ who is growing it, then nothing can stop him. Things that we see as problems, like failed or neglectful leadership, church leadership, like secularism in our society, or the rise of Islam in this country, rather than being hindrances to Christ, are means through which his promises are being fulfilled. Now, of course, this promise does not mean that every single church will thrive and prosper. There will be churches and there will be denominations that will decline and eventually cease to exist, because Christ is always refining, he's always pruning his church. What this promise means is that Jesus will be building his church somewhere. Christ is always building his church. We just don't always see it. According to Faith Survey, though UK church membership shows a decline and continued decline in the major denominations like Anglicans, Baptists, Methodists, and Roman Catholics, church membership is actually growing in free evangelical churches, Orthodox and Pentecostal churches, which means there is a redistribution of the Christian population in the UK. There is also a redistribution of the world's Christian population. According to Pew Research, the world's Christian population is expected to grow rather than decline, from 2.2 billion in 2010 to 2.9 billion in 2050. Nearly one in three people worldwide, that is 31%, are expected to be Christian at mid-century. While the overall Christian population is expected to remain steady, the regional distribution of Christians is projected to change. For example, the share of the world's Christians living in sub-Saharan Africa is expected to grow from 24% in 2010 to 38% by 2050. While the share living in Europe will continue to fall from 26% in 2010 to about 16% by 2050. And that's also the case in Asia and the Pacific, where Christianity is expected to grow in the coming decades. So what we are seeing is, rather than a decline in the Christian church, there is a redistribution throughout the world. So Christ's promise to build his church is being fulfilled somewhere, because Jesus is unstoppable. Secondly, Christ's methods in building his church. If we are going to partner with Christ to build his church, we need to know how he builds his church. Otherwise, our time, our efforts, our money, will be in vain and will be wasted in the end. Now, if we depend on our wisdom of what we think will build the church will be built on something other than Jesus Christ. So what is Christ's method of winning people to himself and building his church? The second part of verse 18, it tells us, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Now the gates of Hades are the gates of death. And Hades in Jewish thought is the realm of the dead. That is the place of the dead. Now once you and I are dead, we are dead forever. Because we can never escape its clutches. Which makes the gates of Hades seem secure. It seems invincible and unbreakable. But what Jesus is saying in here is that these gates, these powerful, seemingly unbreakable gates, will not stop Jesus from rescuing people from death. Death itself is no hindrance to his mission of building his church. In verse 21, Jesus then goes on to explain to his followers how he would do this. And Jesus makes it plain that he will suffer many things and that he will die and on the third day be raised back to life. In other words, this is what Jesus is saying. And he said this in John 10, 18. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. Jesus has the ultimate power over death. And Jesus goes into the realm of the dead by dying on the cross and opens the gates of Hades from the inside to get out of it by his resurrection. Which now means Jesus owns the gates of Hades. As we are told in Revelation, I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the key of death and Hades. When Jesus came out of Hades, he took the keys with him. Which now means he can build his church because death will not destroy it. The problem of death is the platform through which the victory of Christ's promise is fulfilled. And just like Peter, we now have a confession of faith that the church is built on, the message of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. It is this message that we are to spread. It is this message through which people are won to Christ and grow in maturity in Christ's likeness. But this requires our death. Because Jesus then said to his disciples in verse 24, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross to follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good would it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Jesus partners with those who lose their lives for him, who die to self, who die to the world, so they can truly live and be a living witness of Jesus Christ. This is how we win people to Christ. This is how the church grows numerically and in maturity to impact the world for Jesus. Suffering and sacrifice is the platform through which God's promises come about. Christ's death is not only the foundation of the church, it is also the means and methods to expand it through a people who have died to self and who have died to the world, but who now live through him and who live for him. And there is no greater work than this.